Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. One of the things I like to collect when I'm garage sailing are these old Bible plaques that you hang on your wall. I don't know, 1930s or 40s, but like here's one. Prayer changes things, John 15, ask what ye will and it shall be done. Or here's another one. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Or here's another one. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so pray. We're going to talk about prayer on this program. And I love the old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what gain we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And another hymn, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. If I will ask Him, Jesus will help me. He ever cares and loves His own. So the main point of this program today, everybody, pray. No matter if things are good or bad in your life, every day, let's pray. And the question is, how should I pray? We'll answer that by opening our Bible. If you have a Bible, open it up, please, to Mark chapter 10. And let's learn how to pray. Would you pray with me as we talk about prayer? Father, we want to pray for everyone watching this program. If there's somebody watching this and they almost never prayed, God help them develop a real prayer life with you. And those of us who are praying, Lord, deepen our prayer life and speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 35. And James and John, two of the disciples, two of the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying to Him, Teacher, we want You to do for us whatever we ask of You. Here's the first way to pray. Don't ask for whatever. Ask for God's will. I mean, have you ever had this happen? You pray for something and you really want it to happen, and it didn't. And looking back, you're glad it didn't. Jean Ingelow was an English poet in the 1800s, and she said, quote, I have lived to thank God that He did not answer all my prayers. So the first thing to say about prayer, I think you can pray for whatever, but then always close your prayer. But God, only do this if it's Your will, because only You see the future. The year was 383 A.D., Monica lived in northern Africa with her pagan husband and her pagan son. Monica was a Christian. She prayed for the salvation of her son, Augustine. And then she heard Augustine was going to sail to Rome, Sin City. And she prayed, God, don't let my son go to Rome. He'll never become a Christian if he doesn't have my influence. And it broke her heart when he sailed for Rome. But when Augustine got to Italy, he met Ambrose, famous preacher of the day, the Bishop of Milan, and sitting under Ambrose's preaching, Augustine became St. Augustine, and he became a Christian, much to the delight of his mother. But notice what happened. God didn't answer the prayer of Monica's lips, keep him from Rome. He answered the prayer of her heart, save my son. So when you pray, I think you can pray for whatever, but always end your prayers. But God, only do this if it's Your will. Do it in Your way, in Your timing. Let's look at verse 36. And Jesus said to them, James and John, What do you want me to do for you? Here's the next lesson. Jesus is approachable. What would you like me to do? We need to get rid of this Wizard of Oz image that we have of God, that God is this big spooky God and you tremble before him and you better not ask him for anything. Look at what Jesus does. They come to him. He says, James and John, you're sinful. I'm the holy, righteous, awesome Son of God. Who are you to come pray to me? No, he just says, what would you like? And so everybody pray. Even though we're sinners, even though God is holy, he still wants us to pray. I remember a lady saying once, you know, Pastor, I don't pray much because, you know, who am I? And God's busy running the universe. I don't want to bother him with my little requests. And I said, pray. God can walk and chew gum at the same time. He can run the entire universe and answer a billion prayers at the same time because he's God. So bother God. Pray. I came across an old letter that I got when I was in my first year of college from Mom. And basically her point in the letter was, Tommy, why don't you ever write home? And I think she was hurt. Well, think of this. God loves you. He created you. He does everything for you. How do you think it makes God feel when you never talk to him? So pray. Let's look at verse 37. And James and John said to Jesus, grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. Now, I need to explain what's going on here. Even though Jesus had just told the disciples that he would be crucified in Jerusalem, they don't get it. They think when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to get rid of Pontius Pilate and the Romans. Jesus will set up his throne and Jesus will become king over Jerusalem. So they don't get it. And so James and John are saying, when that happens, Lord, we want to be your vice presidents. So here's the next lesson. Check your motives. When you ask for something, check your motives. Why am I asking for this? For instance, let's say your request is, God, I'd like money. All right, check, what's your motive? Is it so you can provide for your family, give to missions, give to your church? That's a good motive. Or is your motive, God, I want a lot of money, so I'll have a big nest egg in the bank, so I don't even need to think about God? That's not a good motive. Look at verse 38. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? He's talking about his death on the cross coming up. Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Again, he's talking about his death coming up. But he says, you don't know what you are asking for. Here's the next lesson. Understand that you might not understand. I mean, the reason I close my prayers, Lord, I'll do this, but only do it in Jesus' name, and part of what that means is if it's his will. Because often we don't know what we're asking for. For instance, let's say, again, you're asking for money. Well, that might not be good for you. I think the more money we have, the easier it is to sin. So I force myself to pray this prayer from Proverbs 30 periodically. Listen to this prayer. Proverbs chapter 30, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Verse 39, and James and John said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink. In other words, they will suffer for Christ someday. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. Again, you shall suffer. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Here's the next lesson. Understand what you ask for might be for someone else. Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said, I praise God he did not answer all my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man 5 times. I mean, I can remember when I was young praying. I think I was hoping this young woman would like me. She didn't. But I believe in God's providence. That meant she was for someone else. So when you get disappointed, well, Jesus is saying here, it might not be for you. Look at verse 41. And hearing this, the 10, the other disciples, began to feel indignant toward James and John. Here's the next lesson. People with big egos make other people mad. I mean, do you have somebody in your family or at your workplace who's got a big ego? Those people are not fun to be around. So this verse is teaching, don't be that person. Don't talk about yourself too much. Verse 42. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to the disciples, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles, the nations, lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant." Here's the next lesson. The great people in God's sight are those who serve. So let me ask you, are you serving the Lord right now? Are you doing anything to serve the Lord? In the late 1800s, one of the greatest preachers in America was D.L. Moody, very powerful preacher. And one day in his Chicago church, he's preaching, and he sees a young woman there who had converted a year and a half earlier. Her name is Mala Moe. And as he preaches, he says to the congregation, "What are you doing to serve the Lord?" And then he looked at Mala Moe, and he said, "What are you doing to serve the Lord?" And kind of dramatically, he came down from the pulpit, went over to her seat, took her by the hand, brought her out into the aisle, turned her toward the door, gave her a little push, and said, "Go do something to serve the Lord." That little push sent her halfway around the world. She became a missionary in Africa, where she died at age 90 after serving the Lord for many decades. My question for you is, are you right now doing anything to serve the Lord? I shared this before, but maybe you've heard of Pastor John Piper. He writes a lot of books and kind of a famous preacher. Well, he taught me Greek at college. And I remember years ago, I'm standing in the foyer of his church talking with John Piper. And while we're talking, a man comes up and he says, "Pastor Piper, do you remember when you preached that sermon that when you retire, you shouldn't buy a Winnebago and vacation the rest of your life away?" And yes, I remember that sermon. And you said you should do something in your golden years to serve the Lord. Yes. And he said, "Well, do you see that older couple over there? They had just bought a Winnebago. And they heard your sermon. They sold their Winnebago, and now they have a Christian pamphlet ministry giving out Christian literature to people." See, especially if you're retired, don't waste your life. Everybody, whether you're young, old, everybody needs to serve the Lord in some way in every stage of your life. Finally, the last verse is, we're going to talk about the word ransom. This is the most important part of the sermon. Here we go. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Why serve? Here's why. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here's the last lesson. Believers have been ransomed. The word ransom means to pay a price to set a slave free. If you lived in the Roman Empire when Jesus was alive, there were tons of slaves. And the slave dreamed of the day somebody would ransom him. And it happened now and then when a wealthy person would come and pay off the slave owner so the slave could become a free citizen and not have to be a slave anymore. It's a beautiful world. And when Jesus uses the word ransom, the big word there too is he became a ransom for many. The "for" in Greek means in place of, instead of. And that little word "for" points to the huge teaching of the Christian church It's called the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Let me explain this important teaching of the Bible. Once upon a time, in a land by the Black Sea, was a king by the name of Shimmel. Shimmel was a good king, but his country was corrupt. So he wanted to clean up his nation. He issued an edict. Starting January 1st, anyone caught in the act of bribery or a judge would be given 100 lashes of the whip publicly. January 1st came. They issued the edict. Suddenly there was justice in the courts. The violence in the streets stopped. And for 2 weeks there was peace in the land. But at the end of the second week, a person was caught bribing a judge. It was Shimmel's own mother. And the people wondered, what will the king do? Will he do justice or will he show favoritism? For 3 days in the castle, he agonized, and finally he said, take her to the post. With the entire kingdom in attendance, with the king himself in the front row, they took his elderly mother and tied her hands to the wood. They ripped the clothing off her back. The executioner took the whip, struck her once, struck her twice, and on the third strike, the king jumped up, stop. He ran up, untied his mother's hands. He ripped the shirt off of his back, put his hands to the wood, and said, I will pay the rest. Shimmel took the penalty for his mother's sin, and she went home free. When we say that Jesus paid the ransom for, in the place of, instead of many, here's what I mean. You and I are sinners. We deserve punishment. God is a holy God. He has to uphold his law if he's to remain a righteous God. Somebody has to pay for our sins. But instead of making us pay for them, God came down from heaven and became a human being. He lived the perfect life we couldn't. And when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't pay 97 lashes. He paid the 100 lashes, the total payment for all our sins. It killed him. He rose from the dead. And the promise is, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, all of your sins are forgiven because he paid for them to satisfy the wrath of God and to show the mercy and love of God for sinners. That is what Jesus meant when he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for all who believe in him. All right, let's review all this. Everybody, pray. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And how should I pray? Well, first of all, don't ask for whatever. At the end of your prayers, say, God, only do this if it's your will. And then when you pray, know that Jesus is approachable. He does want to hear our prayers, even though we're sinners and he's holy. He wants to hear your prayers. And also check your motives when you're praying. Understand that you might not understand, so maybe it's best if you don't get what you asked for. Understand what you asked for might be for someone else. People with big egos make people mad, so don't do that. And remember that if you're going to be great in God's sight, you have to be servant of all. And then the big truth is we have someone who has paid our ransom, no matter what sins, horrible sins you may have committed. If you're thinking God can't forgive me, think again. Christ the Lord has paid for all your sins. So if you're sorry and you're trusting in him, your sins are forgiven. And I close with this quote from Abraham Lincoln. I have often been driven to my knees with the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of the people around me seemed insufficient for the day. So everybody, pray. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today. I have been going through problems lately, and I am wondering, is God punishing me for my sins?
Well, what we just preached about was the substitutionary atonement of Christ, that he was punished for our sins, all of our sins, so we wouldn't have to be. So the way I look at it, God doesn't punish a Christian for their sins, because that's been taken care of. But according to Hebrews 12, he does discipline us. Mm-hmm. So Mona, if I, as a Christian, rob a bank, and I'm sorry, I repent, I put my faith in Christ, there's forgiveness because Christ died for that, mm-hmm. but I still go to jail. And even though our sins are forgiven, you might still have to put up with some of the consequences of your sin. Is that God punishing me? I would say no, it's not a foretaste of hell. He is disciplining you for heaven. Well, there you go.
All right. Should I pray at the same time every day? Is a routine good or bad?
I think a routine's good. And mm-hmm. Mona, when I went to college, the Bible study I joined, they were big on having your daily quiet time. Mm-hmm. When you have a time, for most people it's in the morning, when you pray, read your Bible, have time with God. And so I started having a quiet time, I think, in college. Then when I was a young pastor, an old pastor said, Tom, you need 1 hour alone with the Lord every day or you will burn out. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I don't do it every single day, but often I have an hour in the morning when I read my Bible, I pray, sometimes I worship, I sing to the Lord, sometimes I read Christian devotional books or whatever, but I think a routine is good because if I don't have my routine, I don't do it. Mm-hmm. So I think a routine is normally very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. Should I pray to the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit?
Well, I think I asked that question, or one of us asked that question when I was 13 of my Lutheran pastor, and his point was one God and three persons. When you pray to one, they all hear it. Mm-hmm. But the norm is, in the New Testament, you pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Now, there are prayers directly to Jesus. You can pray to Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's not in the Bible one verse where they directly pray to the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. That's in the history of the church. We, in the church service, we pray, come Holy Spirit. So I think it's okay to do. But the most biblical, normal way is, and I pray to the Holy Spirit sometimes too, but normally you pray to God the Father, and then you end your prayer in Jesus' name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I say the Lord's Prayer every day?
I don't think you have to. I think it's a good thing to do, but personally, I don't pray the Lord's Prayer every day. I pray it fairly often, but it never says you have to pray this prayer every day. You know, mm-hmm. So I think, but it's the model prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can start out with the Lord's Prayer and then just go on and speak to the
right.
Lord.
Right. You know what I don't like? Hmm. I don't like it when all people do is say the Lord's Prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest at the table, and now I lay me down to sleep. No, have a real prayer mm-hmm. life where you're actually talking to God mm-hmm. like he's your heavenly Father and who loves you. And have like we're talking, do that with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Why pray if everything is predestined?
Yeah. Well, I do believe everything is predestined. God knows the end from the beginning. So why pray? And here's my answer. Because God not only predestines the end, mm-hmm. he predestines the means to the end. So like God not only predestined that he's going to heal you of cancer, mm-hmm. he predestines that you're going to get people praying for you, and God is going to use those prayers to heal the cancer. People say, well, if you believe in predestination, why send out the missionaries if everybody's predestined? Mm-hmm. Again, because God not only predestines the end, who will be saved, he predestines the means to the end, that the way that happens is through sending out the missionaries. So there you go.
All right. Should I pray on my knees?
Well, you know, I think you can pray in all kinds of positions, mm-hmm. but Jesus got on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. You don't always have to get. I like getting on my knees. When I'm having my morning prayer time, I like being next to my bed on my knees, because for some reason, when I'm praying on my knees, it concentrates me. Mm-hmm. It focuses me. If I'm laying back in a chair, I just don't feel like I'm focused enough. But everybody's different, and nothing's wrong with praying in your chair. Mm-hmm. But in the New Testament, people get on their knees also and pray.
Yeah. We were taught to pray with our hands folded and our eyes closed.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you have to?
I can't imagine praying with my eyes open. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I watch some of the TV preachers, and they're as they pray, they're looking around. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Are you really praying? What's going on here? So the other thing is, I fold my hands when I pray. Mm-hmm. I close my eyes when I pray. But we were talking about this before the cameras mm-hmm. started rolling. I can't think of a verse where it says to fold your hands, but I always do. So some of the, you know, Paul says, I want men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Mm-hmm. So in the New Testament, you know, I think often people would pray like this to mm-hmm. the Lord. And that's good, too. But so I think the main thing is just pray, whether you fold your hands or not, whether you go like this or not. Just pray. That's the main thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
I have been praying for a certain thing for years, and yet my prayer is still unanswered. Is there a time you stop praying for a certain thing?
The when I saw that question, here's what came to mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had this thorn in the flesh. We're not sure if it was a disease or if it was an enemy or if it was a demon. We don't know what it was, but there was something that was bothering the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. And he says, 3 times I asked the Lord, take this away. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So I'm guessing at that point, Paul stopped praying for it to be gone because God said, no, that's there for my glory and your good. So if somehow the Lord shows you, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer, then you don't keep beating on the door. But mm-hmm. everything else you keep beating on the door for.
So you're praying for healing for someone. You continue to pray until there's some results.
Yes. And that result might be God takes them home and heals them in heaven. I'm not one of these TV evangelists that if you believe hard enough, God's always going to heal you. And mm-hmm. all diseases from the devil. It says in the Old Testament, when Elisha became sick of the illness of which he was, to die. Mm-hmm. Nothing was wrong with Elisha's faith. Elisha raised people from the dead. Mm-hmm. So sometimes a Christian dies of a disease because God's taken him home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're all going to die at some point.
We are. That's.
Do we have a time for one more?
Well, go ahead.
Sometimes when I pray, I get very evil thoughts. What should I do?
Yeah. So a man asked me that question. He says, Tom, when I pray, I get these evil, I think he was talking about sexual thoughts. And I said, well, that's the devil. Keep praying anyway. Mm-hmm. We just got to ignore the devil. There's an old saying, when it comes to prayer, Satan will always give you something else to do, if only arranging a window shade. So, yeah, I've had it too, where you're praying, you're getting these wacko evil thoughts. Mm-hmm. Keep praying. Just ignore the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, everybody, that's it. And Mona, do you have the closing words you'd like to say?
I do. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To know God, continue reading His Word. We'll see you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.